White letters on a black background. Hunger Point. A chubby-faced young girl sits in the passenger seat of a car.
In our family, fat assumed a meaning as deadly as cancer.
You're too pretty to be heavy, Franny. Now's the time to do something about it, before it's too late.
Franny's mother preens herself in the rearview mirror and gets out of the car.
Getting fat was worse than losing your job, worse than being jilted at the altar, worse than growing up in a trailer park with no shoes.
Franny locks her door as her mother comes around to open it. Skinny, auburn-haired mum opens it with her keys and crouches down.
You want the boys to like you, don't you?
No.
Oh, come on, we're a team. First one to lose 10 pounds gets a new bathing suit. Come on. Come on.
She pulls Franny out. At the weigh-in, Mum takes off her jewelry before stepping onto the scales.
Mum, where does all the fat go when we lose it?
Two women nearby laugh. Mum steps onto the scale and weights are moved along the balance.
Mum, where does it go?
It goes on her.
Mum points surreptitiously to one of the women who laughed. Freckle-nosed Franny steps onto the scales. Later at an alfresco family meal, Franny's about to eat the skin off her chicken.
Franny, don't eat the skin. Don't give it to me. Honey, I love the skin as much as you do. But do you see me eating it? It's fattening.
Why can't I be on a diet? I need to be on a diet.
Shelley, you need nothing of the sort. You've got the legs of a gazelle.
Mum takes Shelley's chicken skin and throws it away.
You're dieting. Feel better?
Shelley sulks.
Eat your dinner.
Shelley wanted to be in the club that I desperately wanted out of. In high school, food occupied my every waking thought.
Breakfast, one piece of toast, no butter, 21 M&Ms.
She looks in the mirror.
You're a fat pig. You don't get to eat anything tomorrow. I hate you, you fat pig.
I'm sorry, I have to take this.
Jeez.
It's my little sister.
Franny's in bed.
What happened?
This prom night, I'm such a loser.
Forget about it. Prom night's always a disaster.
Thanks for nothing.
Don't you remember mine? When I was dancing and my fake fingernails came off and stuck in his jacket? And he was wearing a white jacket? Oh, God.
I didn't want to go to school the next day.
So what happened?
Shelley was miserable in high school, but she was thin. A combination I found hard to fathom.
He's not.
She came home from Cornell with straight A's, plans to apply to law school, looking gorgeous. But totally weird about food.
Shelley takes a Tupperware box from the fridge and starts cramming food from it into her mouth. Franny enters behind her and watches askance.
God, Shelley.
Shelley jumps and stops eating. She shoves the container back in the fridge. Dark-haired and cadaverous-looking, Shelley slopes off. Pretty red-haired Franny looks pensive. Franny listens to her sister throwing up.
Guess what? Mom had spent all her time worrying about the wrong daughter.
Did you just make yourself throw up?
It takes discipline to be thin.
Shelley scowls disdainfully at Franny. Franny sits at an island in the spacious family kitchen, toying with a plate of raw carrots, cucumber, and cottage cheese. She glances at the huge fridge, considers, and then reluctantly takes a forkful of cottage cheese. Her eyes move to the fridge again. Finally, she puts down her fork and dashes to open the fridge. Having stuffed her face with candy, she goes upstairs, clutching her rumbling stomach.
I thought I had my problems with food. Turned out they couldn't compare with my little sister Shelley's.
Franny and her parents in a waiting room. Dad does a crossword. Mum reads a mag.
We're ready for you now.
They all enter a consulting room where a deathly pale Shelley with dark rings around her eyes sits with her knees drawn up to her chest. They sit on a couch. Franny glances at the plumpish woman who saw them in.
Her name is Marilyn, but Mom secretly calls her Chubby.
Shelley, would you like to tell them?
Shelley lowers her eyes and hugs her legs.
I asked you to come today to help you understand why Shelley decided to go into St. Mary's.
Yes, well, of course we want to help Shelley in any way we can. But she has a fantastic internship in a law office and she's preparing her application for Harvard Law School, so I don't know if hospitalizing her is the best idea.
That's not your decision, Marcia. Shelley's severely depressed. In order to deal with that depression, we must first stabilize her eating and her weight.
If Shelley feels she needs to check into a hospital, then she should. End of story.
She should be with people who love her.
And it's forcing us to go on diets and talking about it all the time and getting furious if we gain a pound? Is that loving her?
I was very overweight as a child. My mother fed me too much because, well, for her, that was showing love. I tried to teach my girls that food's not a substitute for love. I did what I thought was best, and I won't apologize for it.
I just want them to understand that I didn't mean this to happen.
We know that, honey. That's why you should be home with us.
That's not what I meant.
Right now, we want to stop Shelley's weight loss. Then she can decide her next step. If you really want to help Shelley, you will support her decision.
She's my child, and I want her home. She'll go into a mental hospital over my dead body.
Bang, bang, you're dead.
Franny and Marcia visit Shelley in the six-storied St. Mary's Hospital.
Shelley told me each floor houses different afflictions. Seemed to me the higher you went, the more screwed up you were. Floor number one, mild depression. Schizophrenia at the very top. Which puts Shelley somewhere in the middle.
Franny and Marcia look round the ward, which is full of vacant-looking, disheveled women. One sits cross-legged, repeatedly moving her knee up and down.
How do they get this way? Not all these girls have terrible mothers.
Stop.
Why? I know everyone blames me.
Mom, please. Sometimes I just say things.
Mom.
Franny goes to hug Shelley.
Don't touch me.
Franny's just happy to see you, darling. No, we won't touch you. You look good.
Franny, isn't this place the biggest joke? Don't say I told you so, Mom.
Well, you know, if this place doesn't work out, we'll cross that bridge.
We'll just cross that bridge.
Oh, you're the sister.
This is Cynthia.
Shelley didn't want you to come today.
Cynthia walks attached to a drip.
How old do you think she is?
15, 16?
32. Cynthia's with the ballet till she screwed up her brain on diet pills.
Do they monitor you in here?
People sneak laxatives, diet pills, caffeine pills. Some girl even drank detergent. She couldn't stop vomiting, but she lost a pound, so I guess she thought it was worth it.
Would you feel it was worth it?
Why do you always ask questions that you think are so probing but are actually moronic?
They enter a messy room where a young woman sits on an unmade bed.
This is Bernadette. She's a bulimic. There's a lot of animosity between bulimics and anorexics. Bulimics think they don't get enough attention.
Well, you know, it's not what you eat.
It's what eats you. Go see if Pia got it yet.
Okay.
Got what? Who's Pia?
Excuse me.
Just a girl, MYOB.
Marcia starts to tidy around. Franny sits down.
So how's the therapy going?
Mom, don't touch my stuff. Do you mind getting up?
Franny gets off Shelley's perfectly made bed and watches her sister manically smooth it down. Marcia arranges clothes.
Mom, that stuff's not mine.
I know, honey. I'm just trying to help out.
Mom, why don't you take a walk so Shelley and I can talk?
Fine. You girls talk. I'll get some air.
You know,
this place isn't really so bad.
Why don't you move in then? She's making me crazy.
She just doesn't know what to do, Shelley.
Tall, gaunt Shelley puts her head in her hand.
I'm so ashamed. I mean, I had everything in place. My job at the law firm. I was learning so much. And I was getting my applications ready for law school. I've ruined my life. Do you know how long it's going to take me to undo this?
This is the beginning. This isn't the end. And whose life is perfect anyways? I lost my job, my apartment. Now I'm stuck with Morticia and Gomez.
And where's Dad?
Yeah, where is Dad?
You know, they weigh me all the time, but I never get to see the numbers. We get weighed backwards, and it makes me crazy not to know. Do you think I look grotesque?
No, of course not. You're so pretty. I just want to see you get better.
Don't say that. I am not like the other girls here.
No, I know you're not like them.
Marcia's back.
Really? This place isn't at all what I thought it would be, thank God.
Oh.
Where are you going?
Time for meds.
Oh, she looks so horrible. I want to take her out of here.
Mom, she's really sick.
I hate hospitals. This place makes me so depressed.
Makes you depressed? Think about how Shelley feels.
Who knows how she feels? I mean, I don't know how she got so bad so fast.
Why are you talking about me? I asked you not to talk about me. Why don't you both just go back to your lives and leave me alone?
Fine, we'll go.
Mom, wait.
You heard her.
If you want to go, go.
We don't want to go. We just don't want to see you so unhappy.
I'm not unhappy. I'm just sick of being talked about like I'm some case study.
I'm sorry we talked about you. Hey, let's go take a break. Go up on the roof. Come with me. Listen, Johnny Brendan's nephew went to Harvard Law. Maybe you can write you a recommendation. He's a big mucky muck at IBM.
Mom, mucky muck is not a word.
Fine. Strike it from the record, counselor.
Marcia offers her hand. Shelley doesn't take it, but gets up from crouching on the floor to go with her.
We'll be right back.
At home, Marcia bursts into Franny's bedroom.
Good morning to you. Just when were you going to tell me you were fired?
I wasn't fired. I was laid off.
Come on, lazy bones. I've got a job for you.
My little sister had checked into a mental hospital, and I was doing exactly what was expected of me. Nothing.
At Brendan Realty, Franny sits at a desk looking bored.
Here. Put on my jacket. Look like you belong.
Mom, you don't need me here to answer the phone.
You're not going to laze around my house all day. You're going to make something of yourself.
She looks outside.
He's here. Buzz me and then show him to my office, okay?
Hello. I'm Daniel Reynolds. I'm here to see Marcia about the new agent position.
She casually points to a door.
Thanks.
Franny wears a disapproving expression.
Daniel, hi.
Hi.
Hi,
Marcia. Daniel, how
are
you?
No, I thought he would, but I'm here.
Franny finds a card for marriage counselor Sonia Payne in her mother's jacket pocket.
Franny.
Yes, Mr. Brennan.
He looks puzzled by the sound from Marcia's office.
I knew that giggle. It's a girl flirting with a boy she likes. But this is my mother. Ugh.
In a deli.
It's delicious. Honey, try some.
I don't want turkey.
It's honey roasted, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Marcia joins Franny by the fridges and takes out her pack.
There's no end to your flirting.
What's that supposed to mean?
I can't believe this. A chicken marsala is 300 calories. The deli man, Daniel, will be your next prey.
Daniel, don't be ridiculous. He's married, and so am I.
Right, like that matters.
Ice cream? Franny, your father and I have been married 27 years.
Hope that means something to your marriage counselor. I found the card, Mom. When were you going to tell me?
You're just like my sister, nosy and critical.
Are you going to leave Dad for Daniel? I think I have the right to know.
Franny, stop it. Just stop it. I'm not having an affair with Daniel.
I'm sorry, Mom. Let's just get some low-fat yogurt.
Marcia puts the yogurt back in the fridge and whips out another pack of chocolate ice cream.
What the hell?
Marcia dumps the pack in the trolley and strides off.
Sorry.
A guy mops up the ice cream they dropped. She talks to a young geeky guy before putting a plate of food on a blonde's table. She takes one of the blonde's fries and eats it. The blonde looks over at the geek.
Did you really sleep with that guy?
I was stoned on vodka, my mother's Valium. Abby, stop making faces.
Franny, you need a guy who puts on a suit, not a name tag.
You've got to go with me to see Shelley. I don't know how to handle this.
Come on.
Abby, please.
A secure door opens to let visitors into Shelley's unit. Franny and Abby are amongst them.
This place must cost a wad. Who's paying for it? Shelley's insurance covers 6 months. We're hoping she's out by then.
Abby spots a cute doctor.
Oh my God. What a great way to meet guys.
Franny glares.
Oh, what? It's not like they're gonna want any of the women in here.
Hello, I'm Dr. Thompson. I wanted to talk to you before you saw Shelley today. Hi.
Hi.
Franny gazes at him.
You are Shelley's sister.
Yeah. Are you her doctor now?
No, I'm just a resident.
Okay. Abby's walked away.
There was an accident this morning. No, it wasn't Shelley, but she is upset about it. We moved the girl upstairs for observation.
His pager.
I have to tell you something. You have the most intriguing mouth.
Cute Dr. Thompson goes. Franny stands shell-shocked.
Maybe Abby was right.
Franny blinks and considers. Wearing a faintly triumphant smile, she goes to join Abby, who sits uncomfortably with Shelley on her bed.
Are you okay?
Franny looks at herself in a mirror.
I wish I were dead. I wouldn't have to feel so ashamed of myself.
Don't say things like that. You've got everything ahead of you.
You guys don't even know me.
Of course we know you.
Franny still gazes in the mirror.
What are you doing?
She turns to Abby and Shelley.
He actually said you have the most intriguing mouth. You're incredible. Maybe he said incredible mouth.
Well.
Cadaverous-looking Shelley sits numbly. Abby motions for Franny to go after Thompson. She does. He's busy adjusting Cynthia's drip. Tall, shapely Franny walks up behind him.
Dr. Thompson, can I speak with you for a moment?
There you go. Yeah.
I saw Shelley. I don't know what to say to her sometimes. She's so mad at me.
She's not mad at you. She's mad at herself. Shelley didn't tell me how pretty you are. And please call me Brian.
Do you always flirt like this, Brian? It's not very professional.
Of course I don't.
She gazes at him.
Why don't I believe you?
Something's wrong. She just started crying so hard, it's like she's hyperventilating.
Shelley?
What did you say?
Dr. Thompson.
I didn't say anything. She was
talking
about a girl who took a bunch of pills in her heart.
I want you to breathe.
Is she all right?
Breathe slowly. That's it. She'll be okay. The girl was Bernadette. Your sister was close to her.
Close to her? It was her roommate. Why didn't you tell me?
What do we do?
Right now, let her rest. And keep coming to visit as often as you can. Even though she says she doesn't want you here. She does.
Brian goes. Wearing a concerned expression, Franny gently draws a quilt up over Shelley, whose tortured face is wet with perspiration and tears.
No, Shelley, wait a minute. That's not what I was saying.
Franny, I don't know what you mean. Get to the point.
I'm just saying maybe we can't count on Mom and Dad for so much.
What are you talking about? I stopped counting on them long ago.
Shelley's handed a laxative recipe by another patient.
Why did you call me Franny? I'm okay now, so what if I went berserker on you?
You know something, Shell? I'm proud of you. I think it takes a lot of courage to do what you're doing.
I can't believe you said that. That's so nice.
Yeah, it was nice. Well, you're my sister, the only one I got.
I want us to be true friends, Franny, like real sisters are.
Me too.
Day, Franny's at home clearing up the kitchen. She hears Marcia talking on a mobile phone on the patio.
Hi, where have you been? I've been trying to get a hold of you all day.
Franny takes an apple from a colander, then, looking suspicious, goes to the patio door and slides it open. Marcia's oblivious.
Franny's suspicious. But what can I do? I mean, throw out on the street? No, I don't think Franny's capable of taking care of herself. Yeah, well, at least Shelley has a plan for her life. Yeah, she's applying for Harvard Law School. Isn't that great?
Marcia spots Franny walking off huffily. Dad's in his study.
What's that, Dad?
Oh, this? It's a new item. Sweatshirt.
He holds it against him.
Like it?
Yeah, looks good.
Want one?
I don't think it's my thing, but I bet it'll sell well.
I hope so. Nothing else is.
Graying and bespectacled, he sits back down at his desk and concentrates on his work.
Is everything okay, Dad?
Sure. Just a slow patch.
So, Dad, I'm going to go see Shelley. Why don't you come with and I'll buy you lunch?
No, thanks, honey. You go ahead. I'm going to finish this up.
A slightly less gaunt Shelley greets Franny when she enters the ward common room.
Hi.
Hey, you look great. What's going on?
Oh, one of the lawyers I've been working for stopped by. He asked me to research a case. It's very important. They may even publish my brief. I know you're looking for that doctor.
No, I'm not. Should you be working? I mean, is that a good idea?
Franny!
They walk to Shelley's room. Franny sits on the bed, which is scattered with open books.
I heard you finished your Harvard application.
Why are you pressuring me? I mean, you're just like Mom. She's the one who wants me to go there. Remember that college luncheon that one time? She lied to those snotty women, told them that she went to Harvard.
Shelley, sit down. You're making me nervous.
Oh, I can't. I'm totally wired. Maybe it's my meds.
Shelley flounces out. Franny looks at the books. She picks up an exercise book with multicolored circles on the cover and a label, My Friend Ed. She opens it and reads the handwritten script.
Question. How much more weight are you going to lose? Answer. I won't be happy until I reach zero.
Franny, her red hair in a soft chignon, snaps the book shut and looks concerned. She pushes a file aside and finds a form beneath it. Application for admission, law school graduate program. She picks it up. At home, Marcia puts on the dishwasher. She wears her company jacket. Franny enters in a bathrobe.
You're not dressed. Look, Johnny ordered you your own jacket.
What makes you think Shelley finished her law school application?
Oh, it's your grandfather again. You can go to graduate school too, honey, as soon as you figure out what it is you want to do.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Hello? Hi, Dad, how are you? I know, but you're almost completely blind now. It's time. Yeah, Dave and I are checking him out now.
Checking out what?
Nursing homes, get dressed.
I see a pattern here. Everyone around you gets institutionalized. Am I next?
Uh-huh. Dad, I'm late for work. I gotta go. I'll call you from there, okay? Okay, bye. You know, you should be proud. Johnny doesn't order this jacket for just anybody.
I'm not setting foot in your office again. I refuse to watch you fall all over Daniel Reynolds.
Franny walks out of the kitchen. Marcia leaves looking pained. The dark green jacket with the company logo hangs in the kitchen. Brian.
You have the most incredible mouth. Come here.
He gets up and goes to Franny. They start to kiss.
Franny. Franny, come on. You've got food up.
Guess what, Polly? I hear you.
She snaps too. The geek approaches her.
Hey, Franny.
He licks her cheek and she grimaces. She serves a guy food and spots a weeping woman who's with a guy nearby. She watches them for a moment.
All right. Calm down.
Later, the blonde who was weeping and the shaven-headed guy are the only ones left at a table. Franny watches them from a distance.
But I waited in all weekend.
I told you, her mother was sick. What was I supposed to do?
Well, you could have called me.
I didn't have time.
Excuse me. Sorry. Would you mind paying your check? You're my last table.
We're not finished yet. We'll leave when we're ready.
Oh, you can stay as long as you want. It's just I can't go until you pay.
I've said you'll be paid when we're ready to leave.
Don't talk to me like that. I am a person.
He takes out his wallet.
There, you're paid.
He throws a note on the floor.
He's a loser. Let his wife have him.
Oh! Franny knocks his red wine into his lap. She looks over at balding Paulie, who glowers. Franny gets home as a message plays.
Mr. Hunter, this is Arlene Reynolds, Daniel's wife from Brendan Real Estate. I need to talk to you. It's important. My number is 555-7672.
555-7672.
Hello?
Hi, is this Arlene?
Yes?
I'm calling from my father, David Hunter.
Oh, yes. Yes, is he there?
He's not ready to talk to you yet with everything that's going on, and...
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Frankly, he doesn't know about it, and we don't want him to, so leave us alone.
Franny rings off and ponders. In Franny's bedroom.
What right do you have calling the wives of my business associates?
She called here for Dad, Mom, she knows.
She was calling to ask him to print him some t-shirts for a fundraiser.
I'm keeping it from him. You should thank me.
I am not having an affair with Daniel. Look, if you want to live under my roof, then I want you to show me some respect.
You think I like living here? I feel like I'm 11 and you keep telling me how fat and stupid and smelly and lazy I am.
I need your help. I do. Please help this family.
I thought I was.
Yeah. I know you did.
Marcia strokes Franny's cheek.
I'm glad we had this talk.
At the hospital, Franny brushes Shelley's long hair.
Franny, I have to tell you something. You promise not to tell Mom?
I promise.
I didn't apply to law school. I lied.
That's okay. I can't even hold down a waitress job. I got fired from Rascals.
Shelley, what happened to your arm?
Oh, I cut myself.
With what?
A tape dispenser. Don't get hysterical. It's no big deal. It didn't even hurt. They're gonna put me on tubes.
Shelley.
I'm not supposed to know, but I overheard them talking.
Are you okay?
I'm not crazy, Franny. I just started to think about everything I have to do, and when my mind gets overwhelmed and I start to get numb. And I have to cut myself in order to feel something. I don't exist. I'm just a big black hole.
hole getting sucked into myself.
You have to talk to the doctor.
It's no use. It's my brain. It's eating me alive.
Middle-aged, bespectacled, Marilyn talks to Franny on the phone.
It may not seem like she's recovering, but she is. You'll notice a marked difference in a couple of days, now that her medication has been adjusted.
Right, she's thinner than ever. She's cutting her arm with tape dispensers, but she's recovering.
We should talk about you, how you're handling this. Do you want to make an appointment?
In the hospital car park, Franny takes her mobile out of her suede shoulder bag.
Hello?
Dr. Thompson returning.
Oh, Dr. Thompson. Brian, it's Franny Hunter. Thanks for calling back.
Who?
It's Shelley's sister. Shelley from the Eating Disorders Unit.
He looks blank.
How can I help you?
I think she's worse than when she got here. Her therapist says she's getting better, but I'm telling you she isn't.
Franny, don't worry. Sometimes patients seem to get worse before they get better. She'll be back in med school in no time.
Law school. And I'm the girl with the incredible mouth. You don't remember me. Never mind.
She rings off and gets in her car. Night in the Hunter's comfortable home. Franny walks upstairs and across a landing lit with lamps. She enters Shelley's room to find her dad, David, sitting at Shelley's desk, wistfully studying one of her medals.
You all right, Dad?
I always thought these kind of things didn't happen to smart people like Shelley.
I don't think anorexia has much to do with being smart.
Oh, I know that.
Tearful, he removes his spectacles.
And with all those brains, why can't she find a way out of it?
She'll be all right. She's got big plans.
I think so.
Yeah.
David ponders and blinks and looks slightly more cheerful. Cars roll by on a sunny freeway.
It was hard for me to understand, Shelley. One minute she was in big trouble, the next she was inviting me out for lunch.
You sure this is okay?
Of course, Marilyn said this outing would be good for me. How much do you think she weighs?
Shelley looks at a waitress in the diner.
So what are you going to be for Halloween?
Anorexic, you?
Unemployed.
Good. We won't have to spend any money on costumes.
Their food arrives.
Thanks.
Shelley has a salad. Looking uneasy, she puts aside a little pot of dressing which is on her plate. Franny watches. Shelley cuts up her salad leaves. Franny scoops up a spoonful of soup.
So what do you talk about in therapy?
I don't know, our family. Growing up with Mom and Dad.
How they screwed us up?
They have their own problems. I'm past blaming them. It'd be good if you were. Maybe you'd snap out of your depression.
Who cares if I get depressed? Everyone does.
Marilyn said she'd find someone you could see.
I hate when you do this. You switch it all around on me.
Franny pushes her soup away. Shelley looks anxious.
Do you think you could order something else? I can't eat alone. Order, a turkey sandwich with Russian dressing and fries. Excuse me?
I'll be right with you.
A young guy spots the sisters. He nudges a guy next to him and they turn and stare at the sisters. One laughs at Shelley, whose back is to them, as she cuts salad leaves into tiny pieces. Franny stares back and raises an eyebrow challengingly. The young guys turn away.
I know I'm kind of obsessive. There's more to it than food. I think that by not eating, it helps me control my thoughts. I'm trying to figure it out.
That's great, Shell. It really seems like you're getting on the right track.
Franny's turkey sandwich arrives.
Where are the fries?
Right here. Thanks.
Shelley leans forward and stares at the sandwich hungrily.
Put the dressing on.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Dipping a knife into a little pot, Franny smears red Russian dressing over a slice of the sandwich. Shelley watches her intently. Franny bites into the sandwich. Franny stops eating when she notices Shelley watching her keenly.
Is it good?
There's alarm in Franny's blue eyes as she considers what to do.
Would you like some?
Put more dressing on. It's not enough dressing.
Will you have a bite?
I'm not hungry.
Hey, Grandpa!
Hey, my beauty queen. Where are you?
I'm right here.
Oh, nice to see you. Where's the little one?
Shelley's out of town for a while.
Oh. Blind Grandpa's in a wheelchair. Marcia shuts the car door.
I'll get the Chinese ordered.
Remember what I said. No brown sauce. She'll get brown sauce. I love your mother, but I don't think she listens to me.
That's okay. She doesn't listen to me either. I'm so glad you're here, Grandpa.
Oh, me too.
In Marilyn's swish office.
I feel like the next step I take is most important. So with Marilyn's help and Mom's, I've decided to become
a writer.
Isn't that exciting?
What about law school?
How come Mom knows about this and Dad and I don't?
We talk every day.
I have this theory about depression I want to explore.
Why'd you look at me?
I was looking at everyone.
No, when you said depression, you gave me this look.
Oh, Franny, stop it. Tell the rest, honey.
Shelley braces herself.
I'm leaving the hospital in 3 weeks.
Oh, it's terrific. We'll fix up your room. I'll put in a TV.
Hey, you right, girl. No one ever offered me a TV.
Thanks, Dad, but I've decided I want to move into my own apartment.
You what?
Her own place. Last week, she couldn't handle ordering a sandwich.
My mom? Her life would be chaos without me.
Who sits with Shelley while she spouts her bull? Who sits with Grandpa all day while she's at work? Who's keeping her little affair from Dad?
That would be me, Mom.
Sounds like you're jealous.
Of what?
That Shelley will be on her own and you won't?
What?
Listen, I've got to go to work. I'll call you this afternoon. Sorry.
Abby, wait!
Franny shuts her phone. Dressed in a smart suit and carrying a briefcase, Franny enters a building. A middle-aged woman interviews her.
9 months shoe sales, 3 weeks selling timeshares, 5 months at Petarama. Formerly a waitress at Rascals. Huh.
Not exactly a soul-shattering resume.
You know what? We're less interested in what you've done than what you're going to do. And I like your honesty, Francine. You'd be surprised at the stuff people make up for their resumes.
Please call me Franny. Francine makes me feel like a spinster.
I think it's a lovely name. It's my mother's.
Is that a Harvard diploma? My mother went to Harvard.
Did she?
Well, Franny, I have other candidates to see. But I like you, and I've got a good feeling about this.
Thank you.
Franny strides into the hospital common room.
What are you doing here so early?
Get this. A big boo-ha at Avalon Advertising actually likes me, and this time tomorrow I think I'm going to have a job.
Woo!
Shelley, you just squealed.
Woo!
Is this on? Come on!
Franny dances. Shelley joins in with the other women. At home in the hallway, Franny sorts through mail eagerly. She picks out a letter and opens it. She heads upstairs as she reads and stops,
Dear Francine, while it was a pleasure to meet you, I regret to inform you that the position has been filled.
Franny slams into her bedroom and gets into bed fully clothed. She lies glumly and tearfully. At the hospital...
Shall we look?
Oh, thank you.
Get in there, Cynthia. Smile, Shelley.
Franny to a nurse.
I think she's made more friends here than I made my entire life.
The patient who gave Shelley the laxative recipe.
Oh, Pia, is this from my friend Ed?
Yeah, ed.com.com. I mean, fed to music.
Thank you.
Pia's given her an envelope. They hug.
Thank you. I'm going to miss you.
These pictures are going to be good.
Bye.
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 Yeah, I was jealous. The thin one got the attention and the chubby one carried her things.
Entering a room in the law firm, Franny holds a box of Shelley's belongings while Shelley's applauded.
I feel like I'm escorting a conquistador or something.
Oh, here. Thanks.
You must be so proud of your sister. She would have made a great lawyer. She'd make a great writer, too. Are you older or younger than her?
Younger. 5 years younger.
You're lucky to have such a great role model.
So lucky. Oh, wait. That's Shelley's.
Franny takes Pierre's envelope in the street.
Oh, I rescued this from the file box.
Thanks, I need this.
The envelope.
Franny, it's over. I'm free! Woo! I'm free!
Shelley sits at a computer.
Shelley, dinner time.
Shelley switches off. David watches Shelley cut her salad and meat up into tiny pieces.
I'm just so happy both my girls are home. And I want to congratulate you, Shelley. We're all really, really proud of you.
It's no big deal, Mom. Let's just eat.
No, it is. It's a big deal. And you look just beautiful. Doesn't she look pretty, David?
That's disgusting. We all have to eat that, you know?
A guilty. Shelley, I have a job for you. Now that you've figured out your life, maybe you can help your big sister figure out hers.
Let's let Shelley breathe. She just got out of the hospital.
I thought Shelley was Wonder Woman.
Shelley bristles. Marcia cuts Grandpa's food.
Chicken's at 9 o'clock, Dad.
Thank you.
Looking at Shelley's plate.
Oh, come on, honey. Have a piece of your dad's special chicken. It's got a yummy sauce.
No, thank you.
You can even eat the skin.
I said no.
She's back at the scene of the crime. Stop trying to feed her, Mom.
Franny, mind your own business.
Marcia, leave Franny alone, and Shelley too, for that matter.
Oh, he woke up.
I'm tired of you bullying the girls. She's my daughter, too.
She's 23 years old. You're just figuring that out now?
Forget it. Let's just finish dinner.
He always does that. No. No, I won't forget it. How many times did you visit the hospital? How many times did you even call her? Can you count? Can you, honey, can you count the times your father visited you in the hospital?
I can't. I don't want to be.
Don't you dare tell me what I'm doing wrong when you weren't even there.
I'm different.
Who was taking care of your father when you were off doing God knows what? How dare you judge me?
I can't believe you said all that. Hello, I'm here. Hello.
Look, I'm sorry about that Wonder Woman crack. I feel like the world's biggest ass.
Yeah, sometimes you really are.
I'm trying to say I'm sorry. Can you please forgive me?
I'm sorry, too. I wasn't thinking. Let's everybody settle down. Let's have some cake.
Shelley rolls her eyes, gets up, and hurries out.
Come on, Max. We'll take our dessert in front of the TV.
David wheels Max out of the spacious wooden-floored dining room, leaving Franny and Marcia at the table.
Your father just drives me crazy. You understand, don't you?
Franny stares resentfully.
Franny. Honey.
Franny still stares. Later, in her bathrobe, Franny goes to Shelley's bedroom.
Knock, knock. Hey, Shell, I just wanted to say I really am sorry about the Wonder Woman comment. Shell.
Shelley lies with her eyes closed. Empty pill bottles are on the bedside cabinet.
Shelley? Shelley? Mom, Dad, hurry, it's Shelley! Shelley? Shelley? Come on, Shelley! Shelley.
He checks her heartbeat.
Call 911.
Franny rushes off to make the call.
What's happening? David?
Shelley.
He gives Shelley mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
David? What's happening? Please, David.
Shelley.
Make her breathe. Make her breathe, David. Please, make her breathe. Make her breathe, David.
Shelley's on a respirator.
She was getting better. I don't understand.
David and Franny are also there, looking down forlornly at Shelley.
Let's get a breath of fresh air. Franny?
No, I'll stay.
Dark rings surround Shelley's closed eyes, and her face is ashen. A tube is in her mouth. Franny sits on the edge of Shelley's bed and looks down at her forlornly.
Shelley, it's Franny. Look, I'm sorry about that Wonder Woman crack. I didn't mean it. I'm just jealous. You're smarter, you're braver. You can do anything. Let's face it, I'm the loser in the family.
Franny's sad eyes are fixed on Shelley.
When you get out of here, we're going to hang out all the time. Really get to know each other. Please forgive me. Give me a sign. Please. I love you.
Franny's face crumples. Franny and her parents sit somberly in a waiting room. They all stand up as a doctor in greens enters the room.
We managed to stabilize your daughter, but really the problem is that...
The doctor said she wasn't going to come out of this. It wasn't the overdose. They pumped her stomach in time. But the anorexia had compromised her ability to recover. Her kidneys were failing, her heart was failing, there was significant brain damage. They wanted my parents to consider turning off the machines.
Marcia rests her head miserably on David's shoulder.
In the end, they didn't have to. She died 2 days later.
The doctor leaves the room and Franny stares ahead sorrowfully.
She never gave me a sign.
Mourners enter the Hunter's house, which stands in sunlight.
After the funeral, I didn't want to talk to people. I didn't want them to tell me how sorry they were.
Franny sits on the porch steps of the house as mourners file in.
Especially that snake Daniel Reynolds. My mother's boyfriend.
So sorry.
Franny looks away as Daniel addresses her, and then moves on to meet Marcia at the top of the steps. He gives Marcia's arm a gentle squeeze. Marcia goes to sit with Franny on the porch steps. Franny stares ahead tearfully.
Come inside.
I hate him. I hate him so much I want to take a gun to his head.
Wearing a short black dress and long charcoal grey cardigan, Franny gets up and goes. She climbs the steps to the porch at the back of the house and looks in at a window. Grandpa is offered food.
Thank you very much. I'm not very hungry.
Franny spots Marcia talking to someone Franny can't see.
God, she has no shame. My sister was just buried and she's back to flirting.
Glowering, Franny goes along the wooden porch. She stops at another window and gapes.
What?
Daniel's with Abby. Franny hurries back to the other window.
Take care of you, Marcia.
Marcia's fat boss steps forward to kiss her on the cheek.
Johnny? Johnny, Brendan.
Johnny whispers in Marcia's ear as he hugs her briefly and goes. The Hunter's large duckboard house stands in sunlight. Inside, David packs files in a briefcase.
I always thought families stuck together in tragedy. Not my family. Dad joined a bereavement group at church and went back to selling his premiums. Mom put Grandpa in a retirement home, started seeing a therapist, and threw herself into selling real estate.
Franny sits glumly at her desk.
I didn't know what to do with myself. I sat in Shelley's room a lot.
Franny gets up from Shelley's desk and goes over to a little wooden gymnast doll hanging from a bar on a small frame. She makes the figure rise and fall with a twist of the bar. Beneath the doll is the envelope Pia gave Shelley. Shelley's name is handwritten on it and surrounded by stars. Franny takes the envelope and goes to her bedroom. Removing papers from the envelope, Franny sits on her bed and studies them.
Dear Shelley, here's a list of websites you asked for. I put stars by the best ones. Yours, Pro Anna, Pia.
One of the sheets is a printout which says, "Let the world see your bones." Below the heading are statements, "I want to weigh less than a two-year-old. I want to look like the skeleton in my doctor's office." Another sheet has a picture of a skeletal woman, above it the caption, "Skinny tips of the trade." A printout of a Pro Anna webpage has the captions, "Who is Anna? We are pigs. Fasting. Tips and tricks." Franny hides the papers beneath a cushion.
Franny. Are you all right?
You are such a hypocrite. Your daughters can't have an ounce of fat on them, and yet it's okay for you to have an affair with the biggest pig in New England. Can you explain that to me, Mom? It's confusing.
A heavily made-up Marcia sits beside Franny.
Wow. Things are changing around here. I'm moving to my own apartment.
No. Mom, I didn't mean what I said about Johnny, honestly. Are you and Dad getting a divorce?
No, this has nothing to do with Johnny or your father or you. I have to do this for myself.
She strokes Franny's hair.
Honey, you can't go through this by yourself. Please call Marilyn and get the name of a therapist. Please. Please.
Marcia gets up and goes, leaving a distraught-looking Franny. Skyscraper blocks reach up into a dull sky. Holding Pia's envelope, Franny enters a smart reception and ignores a secretary.
Can I help you?
Abby finds Franny slouched on a sofa in her office.
Hi. You okay? You don't look so well.
She sits beside Franny.
They're calling for you, Abby.
Abby nods to the secretary, then turns back to Franny.
My mom left. She couldn't stand the sight of me any longer. Not that she ever talked to me. How pretty and smart I am, or how I'm going to Harvard. Obviously, the wrong daughter died.
That's the absolute worst thing you've ever said. And that's not how your mother feels.
How do you know?
We've been calling each other. Franny, we're worried about you.
How dare you talk about me behind my back? I am a person!
Look, I have to get to this deposition. Wait right here. I'm going to finish up as fast as I can. Don't leave, okay?
Abby leaves Franny slouched on the sofa. Franny, holding Pia's notes, sits in front of a computer screen. On the screen is Anorexia Web, Cleans Your Body. Franny clicks to another page, The Anna Sisterhood. Another page is headed Thin and Bones.
I'm back. What are you doing?
Abby sees the screen.
Oh my God.
That's so sick. Where did you get it?
It was Shelley's. I guess she was proud to be anorexic.
Franny enters Shelley's old ward. A woman in whites makes to bar her way. Another woman in whites intervenes. Franny walks through the common room and sits on a sofa with Cynthia. Cynthia, still with a tube running from her nose to a mobile drip, puts her legs up on Franny's lap. A blonde hurries over and sits on the arm of the sofa next to Franny.
Is your monster still doing it with her boss?
Cynthia glares.
What? That's what Shelley used to call her. Your monster used to call every day.
Shut up.
Cynthia gives the blonde a stony stare and she goes. Franny looks over to a fat red-headed girl.
Keisha, can I ask you something? Who was Shelley's friend, Ed? I want to know who he was.
To Cynthia.
Should I?
I don't care.
ED. Eating disorder.
We have a club and you can't join.
Yeah, I know all about your club.
Frail-looking Pia enters sheepishly. Franny goes to her.
Pia, why did you give my sister that letter with all those websites and all that weight loss garbage?
Shelley was just scared her favorite websites would close and she's in here. I just gave her a starter list with some new ones. What? Don't look at me like that. There's new ones all the time. Franny, do you think that Shelley got to use a list before she, you know?
No, Pia. I think she you-knowed before she had a chance.
Pia sucks her thumb childishly and turns to watch Franny walk out.
You got a hole in your sweater.
Franny marches into Marilyn's office. She throws a file with Pia's papers in it onto Marilyn's desk. Marilyn opens the file.
There are more of these websites every day. They close them down and more crop up. Where did this file come from?
I went online like Shelley did.
Please sit down.
I don't know why I'm here. These websites are horrible, evil things, and you're like, oh, more crop up every day, oh dear.
You're angry. I'm angry too. But some people can't be treated no matter how we try. 10% of anorexic girls die year after year. That's a terrible statistic.
Well, why couldn't my sister have been one of the 90% who lived? I think you are responsible for what happened to Shelley.
Marilyn stares down wistfully.
I keep wondering what I could have done differently. Sometimes you just can't catch them in time. They just slip away.
She slipped away because no one stopped her.
Yes. I do feel a certain amount of responsibility.
Marilyn, who's sitting, looks up at Franny with somber eyes. Franny flops down onto a nearby sofa. Franny stares into space.
I feel responsible too.
How so?
Because why her? Shelley was such a beautiful, perfect little child. I was the little fatty who had to go to weight loss places when I was 10 years old.
Are you saying you wish you'd been the one with anorexia?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm saying.
Shelley left you with a lot of gaps.
Franny turns to Marilyn.
This isn't about me. This was a waste of time.
Franny arrives home.
Dad?
She puts her bag on a worktop. She goes to a post-it note on the microwave door.
I left dinner in the microwave. 3 minutes is plenty. I'll be home late, Dad.
Looking fed up, Franny pulls the note off the door. Franny stands eating joylessly from a bowl in the kitchen.
Hello? Franny? What are you doing? Nothing, right?
get over here. There's so many cute guys here. You wouldn't believe it.
No, thanks.
Come on, we can have some fun. Remember fun?
You have fun. Don't let me stop you.
Franny, we've been friends our whole lives. You're like my sister, but I can't help you when you're like this.
You are not my sister. My sister is dead.
Franny chucks the portable away and goes to the sink. She hesitates before scraping her bowl of pasta into the disposal unit.
When Shelley died, I thought her food demons were gone. I was wrong.
She turns on the disposal unit.
God, Shelley, I never realized how easy it is.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. Do you need someone to help? It's a dark-haired little girl astride a rocking horse in the supermarket doorway. Franny follows his gaze and sees the girl who resembles Shelley when she was young. A distressed David looks away from the girl and talks to the cashier as she hands over his change.
My daughter. My little girl. My daughter's dead. She graduated from Cornell with all
that. Dad, come on, not here.
Going to Harvard Law School. I'm not sure she ever really knew how proud I was of her. I miss her so much.
Come on, Dad.
Franny shoots an apologetic look at the cashier. Gathering up their bags, Franny and David leave the supermarket. David glances at the little girl as he passes her.
Look, Dad, you don't need to be embarrassed, okay?
Should I be embarrassed?
He opens the car boot.
Well, I think most people get embarrassed when they have an emotional outburst like that.
Maybe you're the one who's embarrassed.
I'm not embarrassed. You can feel however you want. I don't care.
Thank you. That's very big of you. Maybe it's not my feelings you're having a problem with. Maybe it's your own.
He goes to get in the car. Franny looks upset. The hunter's house stands in darkness. A light goes on in an upstairs window. Inside, David goes to listen at a door. He enters the bathroom and Franny moves away from the lavatory bowl. David grimaces and leaves hurriedly. Looking troubled, he paces, then returns to the bathroom.
Stop it. Just stop it now. I don't want to lose you too.
Kneeling feebly by the lavatory bowl, Franny half turns and sees him walk away. She slumps back against a wall and buries her face in her hands. Franny's car pulls up outside a three-storied red brick apartment block. Marcia shows Franny around her apartment.
So this is what you left your home of 27 years for?
Try to think of it like I do, as a sanctuary. How about some sugar-free Jell-O?
Marcia crosses from the sitting room to the kitchen and takes two fruit dishes with Jell-O in them out of the fridge.
Mom, what did you and Shelley talk about?
I'm not ready to talk about Shelley.
What do you talk about with the shrink Chubby sent you to?
Several issues. She's helping me get off my medications, for starters. How are you? Are you okay? You don't look okay.
I can't sleep, Mom.
You should ask Marilyn to help you find someone to talk to.
I don't want to talk to those people. I want to talk to you. You're my mother.
What am I supposed to say?
Franny looks despondent. They sit at a table with their dishes of Jell-O. Marcia eats a spoonful. Franny looks down at the table sullenly.
Tell me why Shelley died.
Marcia looks at her sharply. Franny holds her gaze.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Marcia turns away and lowers her eyes.
I miss her, too. I have a sharp pain that never goes away. Sometimes I can't catch my breath, it hurts so much.
Franny reaches across the table and puts her hand on Marcia's. Marcia pulls her hand away.
I have to get to work.
Are you and Dad getting a divorce?
We haven't decided. Are you coming?
Franny gets up unenthusiastically. Franny visits her grandfather in the home.
Max owes me $15 from this morning's card game.
Now tell me, Rudy, how can he play cards when he can't even see them?
Why, tell him what to play.
Why do you think I lost?
Whoa, did you bring some brownies?
Of course, and macaroons for Rudy.
Oh, what a doll. I want you to meet my grandson, Charlie.
Is he as nice as you?
Yeah, but not as good looking.
Here, Grandpa.
Thank you.
The two old boys tuck into their goodies.
I decided to volunteer in the cafeteria at Grandpa's retirement home.
Good morning.
Franny serves meals from a trolley.
Everybody thought I was being so nice. But the truth is, it's the only time I don't think about Shelley every minute.
Good morning. Hey, Roberta, you got the hang of that walker now. Good for you. I'll just set this here for you.
Thanks, Franny.
Franny drops into Max's room and finds a young guy sitting with his back to her and watching TV.
Do you know where Max is? Hello?
He doesn't turn.
What?
I'm looking for my grandfather.
Well, I guess he must be someplace else.
Are you naturally rude, or did you take lessons?
He turns to her.
Nice hairnet.
He turns back to the TV.
Well, if you have no objection, I'm just gonna wait right here.
I have no objection.
Thank you.
She sits and picks up a magazine.
I'm not afraid of you, even though
you shouldn't sit so close to the TV. It's bad for your eyes.
So you're an ophthalmologist?
You're a jerk.
He glances back at her.
Hey, I'm sorry. I just had a very long day, and I'm tired.
The good-looking young guy gets up and paces a little.
This is just what I need.
I don't want to add to your very long day, but could you just tell Max that Franny stopped by?
Why don't you wait for him? He's probably somewhere with my grandfather.
Excuse me.
Hey.
David's at home watering a plant in the sink.
Good morning.
Franny enters in her bathrobe.
Sit down, honey. I've got breakfast already.
I'm not hungry, Dad.
Here you go.
He puts omelette on her plate. There's also toast cut into triangles, kiwi fruit, and a halved strawberry on the plate. She sits and picks up her fork reluctantly.
Look, I know you're sad, but you gotta eat. We talked about this in group. You have to compartmentalize your grief and move on. Remain among the living.
She toys with her food and puts down her fork.
There's a message for you on the answering machine. Sounds like it's a job.
Hello, I'm Vicky Taborn. I got your number from Polly at Rascals. I'd like to talk to you about a job possibility.
Forget it, it's just another waitress job.
Here, why don't you put that in?
Franny finds the young guy with Max and Rudy.
Charlie, look who's here. Wake up, Max. It's Franny. Oh.
Yeah, we've met.
Oh, what do you mean you met? We're introducing you. Now you look, Charlie. Isn't she pretty?
He's blind. You don't have to answer that.
I missed the hairnet.
You always look like such a ragamuffin. Look at you.
Well, we know he's not blind.
Franny glares at Charlie.
Well, there's some goodies. I gotta go.
Oh, you just got here.
I've got a date.
No, you don't. Your mother says you never go out.
Well, I don't tell her everything. I have a date with a handsome doctor.
What doctor? You don't want a doctor. Charlie's a lawyer.
I don't happen to like rude men who insult women.
Oh, a feminist.
Got a problem with that? Confused about your masculinity?
I don't expect to be on top all the time, but once in a while would be nice.
Just listen to him, Max. They're perfect together.
Calm down, Poppy. It's too early to call the caterers.
Yeah, try never. I gotta get going. I don't want to keep my date waiting.
Bye.
Charlie hurries down a corridor after Franny.
So, how about letting me take you out sometime?
You've got to be kidding me.
You ever make waffles? You know how the first one is usually a mess and you throw it out. But the second one, So maybe the other day was like the first waffle.
You're weird.
And today wasn't any better.
Well, maybe we could throw them both out and start fresh. The third waffle, as it were.
Bye.
Charlie looks disappointed as she goes and scratches his head. Franny gets home and goes into the kitchen. She stops dead when she looks across to the sitting room and sees her father wearing a Stetson, jeans and waistcoat.
Auditioning for Oklahoma?
I want you to take my picture and make it look like these.
A newspaper's open at a Data Mate page.
You're placing a personal ad?
How's this sound? David Hunter is a middle-aged cowboy with an achy-breaky heart looking for a pistol-packing mama who ain't afraid of the call of the wild and two-stepping to Garth Brooks. Yeehaw. What's a gimmick? You gotta have a gimmick.
Franny smiles and nods.
Ready? Here.
David hands her a camera and poses, setting his Stetson at a jaunty angle.
What a pretty color in the kitchen. What a lovely kitchen.
Oh, well, it's great to cook,
yeah. This is my father's new woman.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I thought it would be some hot young thing in cutoffs with a halter top.
She's pudgy and middle-aged.
This must be Franny. Aren't you, darling? I'm Eleanor.
Hi.
I've heard so much about you. My husband was a real fitness guru. Certainly unlike myself. Oh, dear. And when my husband had his myocardial infarction...
A heart attack.
We just couldn't believe it. And then he died, and I never thought to meet another man. But when I saw your father's picture in the Christian Ledger, oh, he just looked so cute with that sombrero sitting on his head.
Well, I hate to cut this short, but...
David hurries after Franny.
Franny, I just wanted to say...
I know, it's just a date. You're not getting remarried. You'll always love Mom.
Oh, I was going to say I won't be home tonight, but I'll call you tomorrow.
At a fun fair...
Come on, give it a chance. You might like it.
If I was a 10-year-old boy, I might like it.
I'm only here to shut up those two old geezers we call our grandfathers.
Hey, don't be mad at them. I asked them to play Cupid.
What for?
They each get into a dodgem.
Everybody clear?
Charlie bumps her. They both laugh as they spin and crash their way around the fairy-lit arena.
I'm gonna get you.
They both career towards each other. They slam into the side of each other. Franny's mouth is wide open as she laughs and screams.
Oh, I've already signed up, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Nice, nice. Don't you want more? There's so much.
No, thanks.
I couldn't eat like this in college. I was a wrestler. To make weight, I ate nothing but applesauce and prune juice. I was a skeleton. Now I eat like a pig.
Franny puts down her chopsticks.
What's wrong?
I just don't like when people drone on and on about weight and diet and food. I wish it was a good thing to be fat. I wish we were all fat pigs.
Well, then have some more fried rice.
He gives her some.
I really gotta go.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Bye.
Franny, just tell me what I did wrong. Please.
Skeleton. You said skeleton. My sister died of anorexia. Her last meal was a bottle of antidepressants and my mother's tranquilizers. They could have saved her, but she was a skeleton. Her heart gave out. My 23-year-old sister died of a heart attack. Oh, God.
It's okay.
She buries her face in Charlie's shoulder and he holds her.
I knew about your sister. My grandfather told me. I should have said something, but I guess I didn't know what to say. I'm sorry.
It's been so hard. I thought I dealt with it. I've grieved, I've been depressed. What else is there to be? I started seeing a shrink, but nothing's happening.
Doesn't happen right away, I don't think.
But now she's in my head all the time.
Charlie, I don't know if there's room for anybody else right now.
Right now? Okay. I can wait. Just don't bail on me.
What's wrong with you? I'm like the poster girl for the American Psychiatric Society. Get out while the getting's good.
No.
No.
Their eyes meet.
No.
Charlie leans into Franny and kisses her tenderly on the lips. Day, Franny gets out of her car, strides past a large wheelie bin, and goes through a door marked staff entrance. Inside, Polly plates up meals.
It's you.
Yeah, it's me. Hi, Polly.
Come back later. I'm up to my ears.
I just want to ask you a favor. Thank you for giving my number to that Vicky person, but I'm really not interested in waitressing right now, so can you just tell her not to call anymore?
Tell her yourself.
He leads her to a table.
Come on.
Okay, great.
No, please,
no,
Polly,
no, no.
Oh, how nice. Hi, I'm Vicky Taborn.
Hi.
Hi. Sit down. Do you want some lunch?
I should have called you. I'm just really not interested in waitressing right now. Thank you, though.
Vicky looks perplexed.
On the phone, you said a job?
You don't remember me, do you?
You look kind of familiar.
I was sitting at the corner table with my very married boyfriend, and you backhanded a glass of red wine right into his lap.
Oh, God, he's not going to sue me or something, is he?
5 years I stood that horse's ass, if you can believe it. Broke it off that night, cold turkey. I haven't seen him since.
Well, I think it's for the best.
Well, I think so, too.
In her bathroom, Marcia rips a wax strip off her leg. Franny browses through a magazine in the sitting room. She looks bored.
How's everything over here in Sanctuary Land?
Marcia smooths on a strip.
I'm sorry you don't like my apartment.
Mom, I didn't say that. You're the one who called it your sanctuary.
It was the way you said it.
If you like it, it's fine. I'm sorry.
You're always so critical of me.
I'm critical of you? Our entire childhood, we had to be perfect. In other words, thin.
I was just afraid if you didn't watch yourselves, you'd end up fat and miserable. Now, as far as I can see, you're not fat and you're still miserable.
Yeah, like mother, like daughter.
Marcia flinches and closes her eyes at the comment. Franny rolls her eyes, puts down the magazine, and goes to stand in the bathroom doorway.
I'm sorry.
Me too. I'm sorry too.
Franny gives her a little smile.
So, what about this woman? You gonna take the job?
What do I know about restaurant marketing? At first I thought she meant buying the groceries. They own 9 restaurants like Rascals, and they're trying to get more business. They're going after the youth market.
Wow, you're young.
Yeah, but I don't know anything.
So you'll learn. And you're smart. And people like you. Johnny Brendan thinks you're very clever.
Franny looks pained. Marcia rubs cream into her leg.
Oh, Franny. It really wasn't an affair. He was someone to talk to. He made me feel important. It was only a couple of times, for God's sake.
Oh, that's all right then.
Marcia stares at her.
You'll never let me off the hook, will you?
Why should I? You left my father? You moved out on us?
And I killed Shelley. Come on, say it. Because I did. I killed Shelley.
I didn't say that.
I killed her. I don't think that. Nobody thinks that.
They hug.
Oh, God. Oh, promise me you won't let anything happen to you.
It's gonna happen to me.
Promise.
I promise.
Marcia draws back and holds Franny's head between her hands as she looks at her. Marcia turns away to pull a tissue for them both.
You want to know the truth about Johnny Brendan? He
He was awful. That man should get some exercise.
With Vicky.
I'm putting you in charge of planning theme parties. Super Bowl, Valentine's. What's the matter? No, I want to know. What's wrong? This whole thing is such a fluke. So what? So you've seen my resume. It's pathetic. That's certainly true. Franny, you changed my life for the better. I'm simply returning the favor. Now, did you spend a lot of money on that outfit?
A black suit.
No, actually, I borrowed this from my girlfriend.
Good. Return it.
Abby and Franny, dressed to kill, enter a dimly lit bar. They spot Charlie and a chum.
That's him. That's Charlie. Cute. Very cute.
Abby with Charlie's chum.
You look so familiar.
Cape Cod. A brunch, remember? They went back to your house and spent the entire day in bed. You were terrific.
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't remember.
We work in the same building. Don't look so worried, I was just kidding.
Charlie with Franny.
And when I get nervous, I know I screw myself up by saying all the wrong things, but the thing is, I like you, and I don't want to mess it up because I think you're the one. But I feel so insecure, I'm afraid I'm gonna blow it.
What do you have to feel insecure about? Insecurity's my department, don't you dare horn it.
But I don't know if you like me.
She moves in on him and kisses him on the lips. He responds tenderly. In a smart restaurant, Franny cuts her salad into small pieces and removes bacon to the side of her plate. She's with Marcia, who's also eating salad.
So I met a guy.
I know. Grandpa told me. When were you going to tell me?
I'm telling you now. He's nice.
That's all I'm going to get.
For now. I'm taking it slow.
So how's the job?
Mom, it's not a job. This could be a career. I'm going to look for an apartment.
Marcia watches Franny cut up her salad in ever smaller pieces. Marcia puts down her fork.
What's wrong?
What do? I want to help you. Tell me. I couldn't help Shelley.
Franny stares at her with anxious eyes.
I'm not Shelley.
I know.
The two women stare at each other intently. Franny reaches for bread from a basket and butters the slice. She pulls it apart and eats one half. She suppresses a grimace as she chews and forces a smile. Marcia smiles back uncertainly.
You always loved your bread and butter when you were little.
Franny, tousled red hair framing her pretty face, chews and smiles.
You know, it's also fleeting. One day your little girl's a toddler, and the next she's backing the car out of the driveway. And it's you, the mother, that has to adjust because she's just going to keep on growing. You only hope your daughter will live a better life than you did. When Shelley died, she took all that away from me. I'd give anything to change places with her. But I have you. And that keeps me going.
They stare at each other with wide, gentle eyes.
Can help each other through this, Mom.
Franny and Marcia join hands over the table. David's on the phone to Franny.
She's a nice woman, Eleanor. Just.
But?
I don't think I'm going to be seeing her again. You know, she's too intense. She wants to talk about marriage all the time. I'm not ready for that.
Dad, can I make a suggestion? Why don't you call Mom and take her out on a date?
Oh, come on, Franny.
No, I mean it.
You think she'd like that?
Yeah, I do.
Dining with Max and Rudy at the home.
So, enough of the small talk. You said you had something to tell us. Well, we're waiting.
Well, yeah, we do have something to tell you. Poppy, Max, Franny and I.
Franny gets up and runs away to the other side of the dining room. Breathing heavily and holding her stomach, she pauses. Roberta comes in on her Zimmer frame.
Oh, Franny.
Hi, Roberta.
Handsome young man, Rudy's grandson. What's wrong with him?
Nothing.
Then what are you doing over here?
You're absolutely right.
Franny, wearing black trousers and a hugging grey top, makes her way back to the table and sits down. Charlie looks startled. She takes his hand.
Excuse me, folks. Just a slight panic attack. Where were we, Charlie? Did you tell him?
Well, Max, Poppy, you know all the scheming you've been doing.
It worked.
Of course it worked. They're meant for each other.
And you guys are the first to know.
Franny beams. Charlie kisses her hand. A car drives through a sun-dappled cemetery. David's driving. Marcia's beside him and Franny's in the back.
Well, Shelley, it's been a year now. Dad is emoting these days, which is scary, but I know it's for the best. Mom is Mom, but she's trying. I've been working on getting them back together, but so far it's no go. I'm doing events planning for a company that runs restaurants. So far, so good. At least they haven't fired me. One thing I wish is that you could meet my guy, Charlie, and that he could meet you. Yeah, Shell, I've got a guy. I'm trying real hard to get it together. And sometimes, I even think I'm gonna make it.
Marcia, David, and Franny, each of them carrying flowers, walk to Shelley's headstone, which has Hunter engraved on it, in bold black lettering on a white background. Marcia arranges the flowers against the headstone, rises and steps back to join the others. They all stand looking at the grave, which is bathed in a beam of sunlight. They remain for a moment. Then Marcia moves away.
Mom, Dad, I think I'm going to say something to Shell. Shelley, I think we wanted you to be everything we couldn't. It was unfair, but it's only because we believed in you. You said once you wish we could be friends, like real sisters. You are my real friend. You're my sister. I'll miss you every day for the rest of my life. You will be forever in my mind. And forever in my heart.
Marcia and David approach Franny and put their arms around her tenderly. The family stand entwined and staring at Shelley's gravestone. ITFC audio description.